Welcome to Lenning School Watch. Radio. Welcome to Lenning School Watch, the first radio show of its kind, where a lifelong educator informs you how to get a quality education for every young person and what you can do to make it happen for your kids. Email your questions beforehand and during the show to diane@lenning.com, diane@lenning.com. The call-in number will be announced during the show and for good times to call in. Here's that number, 818-394-8537. We'll be back with you in a moment. Hi, welcome to Lenning School Watch. This is Diane Lenning, host of a new live internet broadcast show called Lenning School Watch et al. On Block Talk Radio. My show brings sought after information about education. The show will have guests and call-in opportunities for parents, educators, and interested parties to get your questions answered for those who want to know how our kids can get a quality education in America today. Diane Lenning has a master's degree in secondary education and an educator for over 30 years, California State Delegate to the National NEA Conventions, former chair of the National Republican Educators Caucus, and Medal of Freedom Award winner, 2004. Good evening, everyone. This is Diane Lenning coming to you live for our first program, the first Wednesday of the month, from 8 to 8:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. That's California time. Radio shows will be archived on blogtalkradio.com. So be sure to join us and listen live each first Wednesday of the month, 8 to 8:30 Pacific Standard Time. You may email in questions before the show starts or during the show at diane@lenning.com. The phone-in number is 818-394-8537. Now, due to the short time of the show, we do request, as your role, to please ask a question. I'm sure you will understand. The guest is the person who will be making comments and giving opinions, so we thank you so much for helping us in this manner. Now, tonight's guest is Al Rowley, an expert regarding Islam in school textbooks. I'm sure that you will find him a very interesting person to hear about Islam in the school textbooks. Al Rowley is a retired U.S. Navy commander. He served during the Cold War when our principal enemy was international communism. During his years of service, he had occasion to visit about a number of Muslim countries. He held and still holds Muslims in high regard for some of their very commendable qualities, such as temperance, hospitality, modesty, chastity, prayerfulness, and charity. But 9/11 convinced him he needed to try to find out just what aspect of Islam was producing the terrorists. He has been studying Islam ever since. He discovered quite early on that what was being taught to our school children about Islam is far from factual. He became aware that the information in our school textbooks about Islam and Islamic history has largely been sanitized and sugar-coated. This evening, we are hoping that Al will share with us some of the information he has discovered about what our children are being taught about Islam and Islamic history. Subsequent to Al's 21 years of Navy experience, he has also served for over two decades as an administrator in a number of Southern California school districts, so he has some idea about how our educational system works, or possibly how it doesn't work. Al, I see it looks like you've called in, and I will connect you in a second. Thank you so much for joining us tonight, Al. And please start tonight by telling us about the info in school textbooks that alarms you regarding Islam. And a little bit about yourself, if you'd like to start. And please be free to share any contact information or URLs that you would like to share. Welcome, Al.
Hi, Diane. Thank you for inviting me to call in. I started studying Islam seriously shortly after 9/11. I had some high regards for Islamic values, but the question arose, how is this religion spawning all these terrorists? And so I undertook a serious study to try to understand this. I read the Quran, I visited the local mosque, I browsed through the hadith and the sayings and the deeds, the recorded collections of the sayings and deeds of the Prophet Muhammad. And it was really in the Quran that I found my answers, because there I learned that it is incumbent upon every Muslim, it is part of their doctrine, that they must undertake to convert the entire world to Islam by the sword, if necessary. And eventually rule the world by a theocracy according to Islamic law, which is called Sharia. And after I had gotten this information, because I guess of my background and in public education, I began to see that there were some real distortions about the true facts in our textbooks. Now, in California and in most states, the public school children are first introduced to Islam in their seventh grade history and social science class. This is a course called Medieval History, Medieval to Near Modern Times, and it covers the period from about 600 AD up until about 1786 or so. And this is the time at which Islam appears on the scene. What our kids are told about Christianity and Judaism, they are taught in the sixth grade, because that's ancient history, and it was during the ancient history period that Christianity and Judaism appeared on the scene. Well, what has happened is the information that is taught in grade seven, and it occupies about 3 to 4 weeks very early in the seventh grade, so some teacher's not going to forget about it or not get to that in the textbook, and it occupies about three times as much textual content as they get on either Christianity or Judaism. So they study a lot about this. And what I found is I looked at some of these textbooks and checked out the one for my local school district, and then started researching others in addition. is that the version of tech of the version that is being taught to our children about Islam is a highly sanitized, sugar-coated version of Islam and Islamic history.
Al,
yes,
I find that very alarming because having read the Ed Code, it as a history teacher myself, I was informed to teach religion in a comparative manner that was unbiased and in equal proportions as far as time and reasonableness about it.
Well, that may be true, but the problem is they learn about history and Christianity or Judaism and Christianity in grade 6. They learn about Islam in grade 7. And so there is no opportunity for a comparison of the three different religions. So, they're separated. So there is no comparison. Our kids don't learn, don't have an opportunity, really, to even compare Christianity to Judaism to Islam.
How has this come about in our textbooks, and how have Muslim activists been able to accomplish this?
Well, it started back really in 1990. It may have started before that, but the major Islamist group that is credited with having brought this about is a group called the Council on Islamic Education. It was formed in 1990 or so by an Indian Muslim immigrant to the U.S., a fellow by the name of Shabir Mansouri, who is yet today still the director of this organization. Strangely enough, since 1993, they've actually had their offices in facilities of the Fountain Valley School District right here in Orange County.
I find that very alarming. I am a third-generation Orange County family. Been an educator in Orange County for most of my career, and I've grown up here in a conservative county. And I find that just very unusual and alarming that a group such as this has parked itself into Fountain Valley High School. It is the Huntington Beach Union High School District. I used to teach Valley High School.
Yeah, no, it's not at the high school. It's in the Fountain Valley School District, which is grades K through 9. So it's in the school district, not the high school district.
Okay.
And they first occupied, they rented a couple of classrooms over in Nabla School, which has since been sold as surplus and is now residential homes. But then a few years ago, the district, using proceeds from some of their surplus school sites, acquired a new district office, and they actually created a suite for the Council on Islamic Education on the second floor of their district office building. And that's where they are today. Now, in 2007, they changed their name. They changed their name from the Council on Islamic Education to the Institute on Religion and Civic Values. They obviously removed the word Islam from their title so that they would appear to be non-denominational, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the director of this group made his first visits to the State Department of Education in Sacramento back about 1990. And there's been an article in the news, I think it was the LA Times, where he talked about that visit. He came back just totally excited over the fact that he claimed that he was able to bring about 14 changes to the textbooks in that first visit. And he set about making this his life's work. And so since then, he has developed this Council of Islamic Education. Now, what they have done is they managed to, first of all, lobby the State Department of Education to influence what is in the curriculum standards. These determine what is going to be taught in a certain grade about a certain topic. And then also to modify the frameworks. Now, the frameworks are developed from the curriculum standards, and they basically are the specification that textbook publishers use in preparing a new edition of textbooks. California revises its textbooks, at least for history and social studies, normally every 6 years. The current editions that everybody's using were adopted in 2005, came into use in 2006, so we were slated to get new ones in 2012. Well, the budget acts fell, and that program has been put on hold, so we may be using the current textbooks, which are bad, for additional years.
This is just mind-boggling to me, being an educator here my whole life. Now, why do you suppose a Muslim activist could go into Sacramento and have them change framework content, 6 items, so quickly on one visit? What is their purpose and intent of doing all this?
Well, what they say is, this falls right into the lap of those who espouse multiculturalism. Somebody comes in and says, look, there are things in this textbook which offend Muslims. For instance, here's a picture of Muhammad in a textbook. Muslims never allow a picture of Muhammad. That's very, very offensive. So, okay, we'll take it out. And so they start off on things like that. And they will proclaim that their approach is simply to make sure that nothing is included in the textbook which is offensive to Muslims. And then it grows to anything that is really informative about Muslims that they don't want people to know about. So, and it's progressive, and they have developed such a good rapport with the curriculum division of the State Department of Education. I have a letter that actually includes a 100-plus page series of edits from Shabir Mansouri to the director of the curriculum department, the Curriculum Commission of the State Department of Education. And in it, he tells about things that need to be changed, not only about Judaism and Christianity and Islam, but also about Taoism and Buddhism and Confucianism and even the early Aboriginal religions of North America. And he starts his letter off, "Dear Tom." He has that kind of a relationship with top officials in our State Department of Education. So he is heard. Now, the State Department of Education said, well, we're hearing from the Muslims. We don't hear from anyone else. So that's, the problem falls back on our shoulders. We haven't complained. We haven't objected. We haven't demanded truth be told. Now, then he's gone further. And he's convinced the textbook publishers of the U.S. that they need to send their pre-publication drafts of their new textbook editions to the Council of Education for an edit. And they will make sure there's nothing in those textbooks that are going to be offensive to Muslims, that are going to in any way possibly serve as an obstacle in the state adoption process. So there, at the present time, there are 5 textbooks that have been adopted for 7th grade history and social studies in California schools and in many other districts too. And what the Council of Islamic Education has done is they've concentrated on the big states, the major textbook buyers, and that's California, Florida, Texas, and I think New York. So they've been lobbying in all 4 of these areas. There are some 22 states that actually have state adoption procedures where school districts must use as a basic text a text that has been adopted by the State Department of Education. Now, the other states are free to use whatever they want and whatever a district chooses, but by making sure that they got their say in on the text adopted by the major states, typically the rest of the states will buy textbooks that have already been adopted by some state that has adoption procedures. So
okay,
this is
Al,
what
let's
has
take,
gone
let's,
on.
I'm sorry. Let's take a break just for a minute to give them how they can call in or give me a question via email. If you want to call in and ask Al a question in the next 10 minutes, call in to 818-394-8255. 818-394-8537. Again, that's 818-394-8537. Or you can email your question to me at diane@lenning.com, D-I-A-N-E, at L-E-N-N-I-N-G.com. I'll please continue that if you want, but at some point, would you please tell us what you see as some solutions? We have about 15 minutes. No, only about 10 minutes left here.
Okay. Well, one of the things that a group of us who've been studying this issue have done is we've produced a report called Islam in the Classroom, or Islam in America's Textbooks, History of Propaganda. We circulated that widely, and it has alerted a lot of people. In fact, Fox News even did a special on this topic, and so there is some national attention to this. What we have done is we've actually developed a series of supplements for, and we've started with the five textbooks. We have supplements done on three of them in which we go through this textbook and page by page point out the specific paragraphs that are either untrue or misleading. And we also point out information that needs to be taught about Islam that isn't even included. The problems we find in all the textbooks are very similar, because they've all been, in effect, lobbied and propagandized by the very same group. Generally, the word is, Islam was spread by peaceful traders. That's not the case. Islam primarily was spread by war, through aggressive wars, invasions of other countries. The textbooks all tell us that Islam is a peaceful religion that managed to save civilization and culture through the dark ages of Christianity. This is not necessarily true either. They will tell us that women enjoy a specially protected status under Islam. Well, we know that this is not the case. They will tell us that jihad means only one's struggle to improve oneself. They don't want you to associate jihad with war. In some cases, they will tell jihad in some cases means defensive warfare. Well, jihad was very seldom ever defensive warfare, because the Muslims were typically the invaders. Now, they will also make no mention, virtually, of slavery, which was a major economic force in the spread of Islam and in the power that was developed by Islam. They will say that Islam allows other religions to continue to function, and they will fail to mention that if you happen to be a Christian or a Jew in a territory that was obligated, that was occupied and conquered by the Muslims, you could continue to be a Christian or Jew, but you had to pay a very heavy tax called jizya for the privilege of living under Muslim rule. And this actually served to force people to either leave that area or in a generation or two to simply convert to Islam, because they couldn't afford they couldn't even survive while paying that tax. So this is the kind of stuff that we find in these textbooks. It's not true. And it's very obvious that, and as an educator, you understand that there is in education a principle called primacy. The first thing that a student learns generally serves to become a benchmark against which they will test other concepts about the same subject. And if they don't agree, they'll often be rejected. So what these Islamist activists have done is they are reaching our children when they're 12 years old and they are forming an initial belief that Islam is a benign, friendly, wonderful religion spread by traders, accepted because people appreciated its values of charity and so on. And so consequently, we have nearly an entire generation of Americans, everyone who's gone through grade 7 since about 1994, 95, they were first taught that Islam is a wonderful, peaceful religion, that there's no threat involved in Islam, that we needn't worry about it at all, that these are peaceful people, that they should be of no problem, and we should accept them, we should accommodate them, we should give them everything they ask for. So this is one of the problems we have.
We're nearing the end of our show here, and I want to take this opportunity. I'll give you another couple minutes, but I want to take this opportunity to say thank you so much for sharing with us tonight. And in case I don't get a chance, I want to remind everybody to join us again on May 4th at 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, California time. And Al, this would be your opportunity now in the last couple of minutes here to tell us if you do speeches or presentations for people or how they could contact you, or if you want them to email me, or if you have any URLs of groups you want to mention that people could get further information. Please take this time.
You bet, Diane. In fact, we have developed a PowerPoint presentation that we've given. In fact, you have seen that, entitled Islam in the Classroom, History of Propaganda, which explains how this happened, what has happened, and what the possible solutions are. Now, possible solutions. One of the problems we have is multiculturalism has actually become passed into law in our education code. There are several sections of the education code, one which says that no teacher may teach anything that demeans or denigrates any creed, any nationality, any religion, any ethnic group. And another one says no textbooks or instructional materials may do the same thing. So in effect, we might possibly teach our children about the Holocaust, but no teacher would dare tell that was initiated and conducted by Nazi Germany, because that would denigrate Germany. See, so the multiculturalists in the educational system have literally made it almost impossible to really teach the truth and to warn our children about the dangerous aspects of Islam. Now, what can we do? We have to probably reach teachers. The Council of Islamic Education, in addition to just influencing these textbooks, also develops workbooks and film strips and DVDs and supplementary instructional materials. They claim they have trained 8,000 teachers. So, we've got our work cut out for us.
Thank you so much, Al. That's the end of our show tonight. We're looking forward to hearing you again another good show next week. I'm sorry, I was getting a message there. So we'll see you next month on May 4th at 8 p.m. on the West Coast, California time. See you all then.
Good night, Diane.
Good night. Good night. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for joining us. It's been a great show. Great honor to have Al with us. We'll look for a great speaker for next time. We don't know who that will be yet, but remember again to join us at 8 p.m. May 4th, California time, by the left coast. God bless you all, and God bless America. And may our future for our kids and grandkids be bright. Love you all. Good night.